So, just a little meditation help here. I happened to open my eyes and look around a few times, and I see there's a few nice naps going on. And it's that jerking. the traditional instructions are, if you feel yourself fading, you know, open your eyes or stand up, you know. Because that was this first dance we did. We're about waking up, right? Today I'm happy to be awake. They say in Las Vegas, you must be present to win. So we do want to be awake, kind of, yeah. What my experience is that when I start seeing a lot of pictures, they aren't actually, I'm not quite dreaming, but I'm beginning. It's a kind of a tip-off that you're fading away if you hadn't noticed it energetically. So that's the time to bring a little energy in it. And I'm only saying this because I've had a lot of experience with this one. They call it in the tradition sloth and torpor. So I think that's my power animal, the sloth. Oh my God. No, really, it is. when I talked about this acronym ELSA and the ELSA, the A was to actualize the path, and because Guyon was talking about path last night, it's a beautiful concept because it's a clearing. It means everything's clear. And we see it in the forest where I live. The animal paths have created paths in the forest. And can you hear me? And what's so beautiful about it, somebody, some conscious being has gone before. And then I'm going after, but I'm treading it down further for those who go behind. Such a beautiful image. So I talk a little bit about this eightfold path that is the path of virtue. And I know virtue is kind of a tough word in our society these days. I mean, we like it, but it's still, some of us, well, like St. Augustine said, give me virtue, but not now. but I don't know a better word. It's a path of flourishing, and for a right view, which is the first on the path, it is clear that it is not just our own flourishing, but it has to be the flourishing of for all. And I mentioned that in my talk the other night. Someone recently I read calls it the elephant in the Dharma hall. You know, if we're not working for everyone, all beings, if we're not working to relieve the suffering of all conscious beings, then we're really, are you having a hard time hearing me? Oh, okay. Well, I bet you're not the only one in this room. So, Yarrow asked me if I would do a little bit of a meditation on the earth. And this is just one. It's sort of an interbeing breathing practice, but it brings home this reciprocity, which ties into not only right view, but right action. that we always want to be giving back what we receive. So simply settling into our breath. What we breathe out on the out breath is carbon dioxide, and it turns out the trees breathe that in. It's their greening power. It's what makes them able to perform photosynthesis. And what they breathe out toward us, all the green, not just the trees, grasses, all of that, they're giving out oxygen. And that's our life force. We breathe that in. So as we breathe, connect with all the green life and all these trees we see out here in front of us, and feel that beautiful exchange of life-giving nourishment. Breathing in, taking what they are giving us, and breathing out what we give back to them. I mean, it's just such a beautiful, it's so beautiful to settle into that reciprocity and to know we're giving enough and we're getting enough. In Quechua, the word for reciprocity is Aini.
Aini.
Aini. Aini.
Aini.
Aini.
Aini.
Aini. Aini. Aini. We have some Murids in France, but she's from South America. They called their new daughter Aini. So that's the golden rule in Quechua. And every tradition, of course, points to this golden rule. So that's part of, in the Buddhist path, this is part of what's called right view or right action, both of these. And the thing about these eight virtues that are mentioned is that they all have to be attended to simultaneously. We talk about it in a linear way, but of course it's simultaneous, and someone has referred to it like the hen over on her egg. When she's sitting on her egg, if you've ever watched, she keeps getting off the egg and turning it a little bit, getting back on. The warmth of her body has to touch all parts of the egg for it to hatch. So when we talk about this path of virtue, we have to attend to all of these aspects. And in a sense, if we attend to one of them fully, in some way, maybe we're attending to all of them simultaneously. But we talk about it in a linear way. So another thing about this path, it's been called right view, right action, so forth. And the word is sama. And Shabda's pointed out to me that sama, the raga sam is...
Sam means one, means to listen, but it's also the gathering of beings to enjoy the intoxication of music.
Yeah, but it's the one, it's the downbeat, it's the right action. It's, you could say it's right on, or in tune, or on time, or right on, or spot on, if you're English, you know. Spot on. Because right connotates wrong, and then we're back into this morality trap. So skillful view. The second one is usually translated as intention, but another way would be imagination, right? You know, skillful imagination, because in this is the possibility of imagining what we want, imagining the world as we want it, and making the intention to realize that in whatever way each of us can do that. And then the next three of the path are all behavior, speech, behavior, and livelihood. And just in the tradition of Gayan, of sort of really updating some of these things, putting our own modern stamp on them, you know, the right speech is usually the usual, you know, about... some of them almost impossible to keep, like never gossip and all that. You know, it's hard not to gossip when you're old because you don't have much fun for others. See, I told you I was a bad Sufi.
I thought you gave that up.
Some things are hard to give up. But also the voices inside of us, the voices of teachers, parents, and as we develop, we're looking for our own authentic voice. And those voices, the should voices, and the, you know, that those are not our authentic voice that we, so speech, right, speech is, and how we talk to ourselves. I mean, it's more inclusive than these strict prescriptions that come down to us that feel a little moralistic. And another is our actions, and that to me seems the most important one right now, because what that means is that. Again, that sleeping man thing I mentioned the other night. Okay, when the Industrial Revolution started, we thought everything was great and we let's go. But now we know what the repercussions have been of many of those things that we initiated, 100 years ago. So now that we know what the effect is of the oil industry, animal agriculture, now that we know how that's affecting our planet, it behooves us to pull our actions in line. Now we know what the causes are and the conditions that result in the degradation of our planet. We have to change our thinking, our everything, our conditioning. It's not easy, those changes. I've forgotten how many billions or millions of turkeys are slaughtered for Thanksgiving, and most families just can't imagine not having turkey on Thanksgiving and Christmas. But it's good to think about, really, what is that about? And can we create new traditions? I was just this past week in a retirement home for the priests of the Zen Center. And we were talking to one of them about there's a zendo. I mean, there's a swimming pool and there's a gym, but there's also a zendo. And so we were asking, and it's set up as a Zen zendo. And so there's statues, there's bows, there's bells, and we were asking one of them, well, what is the correct form? And he said, well, this is a new zendo, and we're creating the tradition right now. We're going to work it out, when to bow, where to bow, you know, because this is a retirement community that includes a lot of different Buddhist traditions. So the Vipassana, the zendo has the chairs facing the wall, but the Vipassana people started their own meeting and turned the chairs out to the middle. So we need to look at every bit of our conditioning, including our traditions and the way we're habituated to think. And although we're rather radical and we like to think we think out of the box, can you think out of the box even more, maybe? I mean, how much in a box are we really? And we do need to. So that's right action, and right livelihood is how much damage does our work create? How much suffering? Can we find work that creates less suffering? Or at least can we make an effort? The next one is effort. And I mentioned this the other night, that it's not about gritting your teeth. It's more about really understanding the conditions and causes of every situation. Every situation is conditioned by the previous situation. So rather than thinking about what is going to be the next situation, since we're settling into what's here now, the reality is, in this moment, how do I create the conditions that will give rise to something skillful and spot on in the next moment?
Could you say more about that?
Maybe could you ask more specifically?
It just felt like the beginning of, you know, it's not a specific question. Let me see if I can say what I think I heard was, in the present, creating the conditions for the next action. So I think I did get it.
You did. Again, you know, if we're in a place of stillness, peacefulness, contentedness, what's going to arise out of that is probably going to be skillful.
So it would be skillful to sew up the...
Because of time.
Oh, my time is up. that's fine, because the last two are mindfulness and collectedness or concentration. And I also talked about that the other night, too, that we're constantly balancing in our practice the awareness of whatever's arising now, and going with it fully so that we feel it fully. So we feel it as it arises and we feel it as it disappears so that we ride the whole wave of the experience rather than dismissing, been there, done that, and jumping to the next thing. We stay with what's arising until it. That's really how concentration or samadhi is defined in the Buddhist tradition. Okay, I'm finished. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening.